we have any evidence where 100% of the outputs are identical? I don't know what that means.
So I shoot a basketball, let's say, right? Whether it goes in or not is based on the velocity, the angle of approach, the, like, there's all the, like, if I drop a glass, the speed of what glass breaks at, like, there's, it's not, is there anything that where you provide the same inputs into something that the outcome would be different? Like, is there anything that if we knew exactly, like, where every molecule hit something, like, is there, do we have anything so spontaneous, like, something different could happen?
I don't think so.
Okay. So that's why creationism is not dumb, because.
But that's not what living things are like.
But something happened for a single cell organism to approach, right? Like,
yeah, but single celled organisms are not a computer simulation where you know exactly what's going to happen after the 100th iteration. They interact with their environment, and their genome is capable of spontaneously changing.
But if I take a basketball shot, like I told you, 100 times with the exact same inputs, it's either going to in or not.
This is not a one-step process.
And then wait, you'll get your turn. We're going to go in order. We're going to go in order, Circle. I'm almost done. Give me 2 more minutes and I'll be done.
Excuse me, but I'm the researcher here. Anyway.
I don't care. We're going in order. Wait.
Daniel, I have to stop.
Can I just finish for 2 minutes and then you're ruining this, please? So the microwave radiation that we see at the end, like for Big Bang, right? We really don't know if we are hypothesizing that it's the Big Bang, but really we cannot see back to the Big Bang. We can only see 300 million years before the Big Bang, and we've hypothesized the first couple hundred million years, right? Or after that.
But the mere existence of the CMB was a prediction of the Big Bang model, and we found it. Now you can say it doesn't with 100% certainty confirm the Big Bang. But if there was no CMB, that would have been the evidence that disproves the Big Bang.
Yes.
And that's not what happened.
Agreed. But it's not, we don't know if it's actually, we know that it's not disproven yet. And then my last point is that people have a hard time understanding scales of time. We've been around, like, actually intelligently for, like, maybe only 2,000 years. When we're talking about 200 million years ago, intelligently, like, human intelligence, like, when we started writing down stuff, well, okay, 5,000 years. Doesn't make a difference. We're talking on a scale of 300 million years. And the only DNA that we've found, like, conclusively is in, like, teeth for, like, 1 million years ago. So people are trying to convey that they know what happened 300 million years ago with DNA when there's no evidence of 300 million years old DNA. So no one knows what the hell 300 million year old DNA was. Now, Notorious, it's your turn. DNA. Planet, please mute everybody in order, mute me too, and let Notorious talk.
I'll let them talk, but like to just like, I don't know.
I'm gonna submit my time to biology and let her go.
I'll do the same, that's fine.
I agree.
First, abiogenesis is not a one-step process. It's a continuous process, and we have observed the first stages of it, starting with the Miller-Urey experiments that gave us the basic amino acids and the early nucleobases, and it has been repeated over and over again. Do we have the full developmental stages? No. That's why abiogenesis is still a hypothesis. It's not a theory yet. That's the thing. It's not a one-stage process. It's not a, now we have a cell. No. It takes a long, long time. And we could discuss here the full-blown evidence that exists for it, for the RNA world theory, for the DNA world theory, for how these stages have happened, all of those things. Second, regarding the 300 million-year-old DNA, we don't need 300 million-year-old DNA to understand the evolution of our own DNA. We are able to track the mutations and track all of those differences between the humans and between different cells.
Yeah, you can only track the last million years. That's the thing. It's 300 million years.
But you can make predictions based on if evolution is true, there should be genetic similarities.
Are almost like guesses. Almost. They're a little bit better than guesses.
No, they're so much better than that. Because, again, if the evidence had been, if we found, if we found statistically or whatever that there's like literally zero correlation between any species, then that would have been absolutely fatal to evolution. We know what the evidence that would have disproven it was, and that's not what happened. We kind of already did that, an example just like that.
I've agreed with you already that you can disprove things with, but you cannot predict what actually happened to reach the result, because you're just guessing about what could have happened to make this result. You're not guaranteed.
With extraordinary sophistication, we are guessing.
No chance. Show me where there's extraordinary sophistication.
In fact,
genomics?
Yay, my area. Computational biologists here.
Genomics are only a million years old.
No.
Way over that.
No. Again, if evolution were true, it would mean certain things about the genetic relatedness.
Well, you don't know what happened in 250 million years. You don't have no samples from
when
there.
You don't need to because what we look at is the animal kingdom, and we can determine which are the animals, because we can do it with plants too or whatever. Which are the organisms that are most similar? And once we found out how genetic information is transmitted, then we were able to say, aha. Now, if all this evolution stuff is true, if organisms over hundreds of millions of years were passing on genetic information and changing slightly over time, then the signature of that would be in the genetics, and exactly what we thought we would find, we found.
Only I'm going to go step out, my friend.
I'm going to go step out. No, because I don't know how to say it any more clearly for
Pearson,
you.
So. Could you discredit the fact that 250 million years ago, because you have no evidence, someone just dropped and just switched everything up?
Is there any evidence of that? No.
No, there isn't, but it's not disproven.
Right. Yes, but we have done.
You have no evidence of anything that happened back then.
I was saying yes because I was agreeing with you, but okay. We only have evidence of one particular explanation, which means it's the only explanation that makes any rational sense to go with.
That's great, but it's not. Don't think that it's not gospel.
It is to a point that you can track.
I'll be back in like 1 minute.
The ox genes, which are the genes that make the basic structures for animals, and we can track those mutations over all of the different orders of animals. Inclusively, we can even track that it was because of one retrovirus that entered the early mammals that we have the type of nervous system that we have nowadays. Because of the myelin sheet that we get, that gene for that myelin come from that retrovirus. So yes, we know things from billions and millions and millions and millions.
Not billions. Not billions is only carbon dating fossil. Daniel, not genomics. Let's be honest with you.
Interject real quick, if that's okay.
No problem.
Can you make that last statement again?
To who? Me or Silico?
Yeah, no, you know what you just said about how long ago.
Yeah, so I'm guessing from what I've seen so far, correct me if I'm wrong, woolly mammoth teeth about a million years ago is the oldest genetic material.
Okay.
No, we don't need old genetic material.
And then you stated that we have no evidence that DNA was that far away and we only have carbon dating.
No, I'm saying there were fossils that we know that are older. So we have like carbon dating. So we can see rocks from like 3.5 billion years ago or whatever. And we can see that there was animals, fossil records from dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. But we don't have any genetic material guaranteed. Now there's claims of genetic material from 120 million years ago, but it's not really like for sure.
It's still failing to understand. Daniel, we don't need old genetic material in order to understand the genetic evolution of Earth. We can track and compare all of the single living organisms that exist on Earth, and from that infer the types of mutations that required from one species to move to another species, to another family. Inclusively, I was trying to explain to you, and you keep talking over me, and that's not nice, that we know that one single retrovirus is responsible in the early mammals for the myelin that allows us to have the complex nervous system that we have as mammals. One single retrovirus that entered in the population.
Talking over is wild, though. Oh, you're not done yet. Sorry.
If I can ask you a question, Silico. So in Peterson's previous conversation with Mike, they were talking about, you know, new genetic material or expression.
I can't put that on comments.
So from what I understand, you can have mutation. Now you're also saying
horizontal gene transfer mutations and retroviruses.
And yes. So are those the only two?
Three things. Two of them are major.
Oh, three.
Horizontal gene transfer and retroviruses do enter in a population groups of genes, not just one. Yeah. Entire groups of genes.
Hybridization happens too. Oh, sorry. It's more common in plants, but hybridization happens as well.
We are hybrids. Come on, Peterson.
Well,
we are
yes, true.
We are hybrids with Neanderthalensis and humans.
Yes, also very true. Okay, so Daniel, here's what I want to say, because you're coming at us with just, well, it's possible that it could be something else too. Like, yes, but I usually give a very simple example of this. Do you think the sun orbited the Earth a million years ago? The Earth orbited the sun a million years ago?
Yes.
Do you have evidence of that?
There's probably, if I went to go research, I probably would get like really good evidence of that based off of other planets and the sun's life. How long? Because remember, there's we've aged the sun based off of how much fuel it's used and its core.
I'm not talking about whether or not the sun existed. I'm talking about, do you think the alternative would be maybe a million years ago, the sun went around the Earth instead of the other way around? Nobody thinks that. But
nobody
but we don't have evidence to dismiss that.
And we don't.
But there's no good reason to think that that's the case.
Listen, I'm a gambler. There's a lot of things that happen that there's no good reason for, but that's what actually happened. And if you look at, like, I think what you guys are failing to understand is infinite time scales, right? So if you play roulette, you could get the same number 100 times in a row. That's a possibility.
Infinite time scales.
No one will say that that's possible, but guess what? It's possible.
So if I may step in based on what you just said, why is it not possible then that's just by random chance? And I understand no matter how many times you do something, the probability doesn't change. I don't understand that argument because it can still randomly happen, just like in gambling.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a chance that it never would have happened.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, I know what never happened because if you have a distribution, like say a roulette table, and you keep spinning the ball, you will get an even distribution of all numbers if you go to an infinite time scale. But the problem is, I don't think people understand what an infinite time scale means. Like, there's a long time.
That's not part of the explanation for anything we've been talking about.
No, you guys are trying to predict something based off of information that's not infinitely run, I'm saying.
That's what extrapolation is.
We've only extrapolated these many years of data. What happens in 20 years when we figure out something else?
Change our theory to...
Who knows? Yeah, exactly. Who knows?
Do you understand the idea of Occam's razor?
It's not just a theory. It has achieved the theoretical status because it's passed all the tests with flying colors.
It's the best... You can debate that it's the best,
explanation
that we have as of now. But do not sit there and tell someone else that they're completely wrong. Tell them, like, I have more evidence for how I think compared to what you're thinking.
But because, the Earth only could have, just have evidence of the other thing.
I don't know about that.
Some people have some evidence, just not as good.
May I please say something, if that's okay? I don't feel like Peterson commonly uses the dichotomy that people think he's saying. He doesn't oftenly say that you're absolutely completely incorrect. He states that the evidence that we currently have supports this theory, this thing that we're saying. And are you familiar with Occam's razor?
Not really. I've
So the philosophical theory of Occam's razor is when you're prevented with two possibilities, right? The one that is the simplest, based on the evidence you have, is more likely to be the right answer. Now, the term right answer in science is a very, very difficult thing to say, right? Because you need to have the evidence to say, which is why when we publish something, we usually end up with, based on the evidence, this more likely supports this outcome. Based on the evidence we have, it makes the most sense that this DNA that we're looking at, and the term information also is just a way to sort of wrap our minds around it. The fact that this thing happened over time, the chemical, the atoms combined in such a way to release enough heat in order to form, because that's more beneficial.
And I'm going to tell you something. Continue.
No, and over time, these things formed in such a way to chemical processes ended up continuing to move forward into a more beneficial way. Now, the universe undergoes this thing called expansion, right?
Yeah.
Now, the driving force of this is we've observed that nature prefers to be in a more unorganized state, yep. Right? You try and force things into a bowl, eventually if it's going to pop. They prefer to be far apart.
Yeah.
Now, organisms do that. Metabolism shows that by us being quote-unquote alive, we grab things, we eat them, we consume them, we metabolize them, and now they're in a more disordered form. Now, the question of why did it go that way, that's a thing. You can keep going down that rabbit hole, right? And if you keep using arguments that somebody can't produce evidence of, you can make a lot of arguments. Producing evidence that goes against a theory is much more difficult than obtaining evidence that supports the theory.
Corey, there's a big problem with the whole thing, removing creationism. Do you know what the big problem is? We have not found life outside of Earth yet.
That's not necessarily true.
We have it.
We see the beginnings of the trend of life.
Huh?
We see the beginnings of
what beginnings?
Of the possibility of life.
Possibility. Water. Yeah, we found water. That's it.
Okay.
We haven't even begun to look for life in other places. So to say it's been ruled out, barely.
Sorry, one second.
I absolutely am going to get this point across. We know of the mere existence of about 5,000 exoplanets. That's it. There are probably more than a trillion planets or planet-like moons or whatever just in this galaxy. And we know, and the observable universe contains something like 200 to 400 billion galaxies.
That's great. So if there were intelligent life, why wouldn't they be flying around?
What?
We've only been around for a bit. Like, imagine a civilization that's been going on for like 3 million years at our pace right now.
Right. The point is, we haven't even begun to look.
But we found nothing in those 5,000, though. That's already a small sample size that we can just say, hey, nothing yet.
That's not 5,000 out of a trillion is so absurd that is worse than taking a thimble of water out of the ocean and being like, aren't any blue whales.
That's what I'm trying.
Exactly.
Because we only have a million years of data on an Earth that has 4 billion years of fucking data. So don't get excited about what you know from the first million years, last million years.
So you're saying that because of the lack of evidence means we shouldn't be supporting what we see?
I have to go. I just want to correct some major things that Mike said. And because I was in your comments, Peter, something like, please let me correct. First, mutations are cumulative. This is not something that is goes from one state to another state. Even in the genome is a very resilient thing, meaning that you can have a myriad of mutations happening, and it takes a long time before big alterations happen, because you have situations, there are areas of study within evolution that study resilience within evolution, which is the trying to predict minimum amount of mutations for certain molecules to have different configurations. So while you observe a certain change that you think is sudden, it might have taken quite a few dozen mutations in order to get there. The third and second thing, which is very, very important, horizontal gene transfer mutations and retroviruses. These are three major areas where new information gets to a new population. They happen all the time. We observe them all the time.
Okay.
We observed speciation occur. Not just in microorganisms, we observed it in We observe it in macroorganisms. We have observed since the 70s, we have observed Galapagos finches speciate. So yeah, people can metaphysic this all they want. We observe all of these things. Thank you. I have to drop down. Bye-bye.
Okay. I think I'm probably going to go, everybody. I've been on here for 2 hours and 40 minutes, which is kind of a long time for me. So,
okay, Peterson, last point, then you can do whatever you want. I'll drop down too. A lot of scientists talk about evidence from a really long time ago, and there's a lot of inferring or guessing about, okay, this makes sense, so they connect dots that are not really connected, but they just use like, okay, but this is how we're going to connect them. A million years ago, when they find even evidence or actual samples from that old stuff, they really, really don't actually know if what they're extrapolating from that data is actually the right stuff to extrapolate. They guess a lot. They're hypotheses.
I could just say that literally everything before you is an illusion because of unicorn queef dust that blankets the atmosphere and it magically changes the photons to make everything in front of you appear different than it really is. But there's no good explanation, or there's no evidence for that. It's not a valid hypothesis.
It's not a valid. I can say that for up to a million years ago. After a million years ago, don't. And then fossils, and then them being whatever. But then some of the stuff that you have no, anything that you don't have no like actual. No one saw it. No one has any kind of sample of it. No one knows what the hell was going on there. They're just.
That's
up
that's
to a million
not,
years.
That's
I will
not
believe
how
everything.
We. Okay.
And carbon dating, I'll believe that. Other than that,
that's just simply not how we determine what's reasonable and what isn't.
Can I just ask one more question? I'm sorry, I know that you're running on time, Peterson, but if I could just ask one more question.
Go ahead.
Daniel, can you just tell me in like one or two statements what you're trying to argue right now?
I'm trying to argue the fact that a lot of people debate things that no one till today knows the answer to, and they try to discredit each other to the point that the other person is stupid or it's absolutely not possible. The only time you can say stuff like that is when someone says the earth is flat, go ahead. But if someone says the Big Bang might not have happened, you cannot completely discredit them.
I don't think I think that we're not completely discrediting something that you think. We're just simply presenting the fact that there's more evidence to support one conclusion other than the other. And the lack of evidence towards one idea, one school of thought, does not negate the other school of thought. Because if that were the case, it would just be a completely downhill situation in which you could argue any point. And as long as you can't support it, it must be true.
Corey, the what they've come up with for the Big Bang, a hot little singular ball of plasma that had almost the whole universe inside of it, and it just popped. If you really think about it, sit back and think about what they've told us created that cosmic microwave background radiation. Think about what they're hypothesizing, and tell me it doesn't sound out of this world.
Join the battle to defend science. Get your copy of my book today.